We're here on Daf Gimel and Beis, about eight lines up from the bottom of the Amud. We have one last piece of Gemara with regard to the mitzvah of Kima and covered for a Talmud Chacham. After the Egel, Moshe pitched his tent Michutz L'machne, outside the camp. And the pasuk says, "Vayiketzeis Moshe el ha'oel yakumu kol ha'am v'nitzvu ish pesach olo v'bitu achrei Moshe ad bo'o ho'hela." And the people were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara records a machlokes between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, Chad Omar Lignai. Chad Omer L'Shvach, Mandi Omer L'Gnai, Kedi Isa. The Gemara doesn't spell out exactly what the Gnai is, but the Medrash does. They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was living off the people, and he was a rich person. He was able to collect money from people and use it for his own benefits. It was a terrible thing. Mandi Omer L'Shvach. And the Gemara says, that's like the statement of Chizkiah. Amar Chizkiah, Amli Rab Chanina, Bered Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Avdimi, Deminche, if a Chacham over, if a Chacham goes by in front of you, Omeid Milafonov, as soon as he comes close, Arba Amos, you should be standing. Kevon Sheovar, once he passes, once again, Arba Amos, he passed the shear of Arba Amos, Yosef. So anywhere within a radius of four Amos, you should be standing. Av Bezdin, over, if the Av Bezdin is passing by, then the halacha is much more demanding. Omeid Milafonov, Milo Einov. As soon as you could see him, no matter how far away he is, you stand up. In other words, in the case of a chacham, the mechayev and the mitzvah is within an encounter. There's a close encounter between the two of you. In the case of Bezdin, it's just to respect the position itself, the position of Bezdin. It's not on a personal level, face to face. Kevan Shaavar Avar Amos Yosef im Nasi Over Lefanov Omeid Milfanov Melo Einov V'Eina Yosef Ad Sheyeshev Bimkom, until the Nasi actually sits down. So the case of the Avbezdin is one notch higher than a regular Chacham, but one notch lower than the Nasi. The Nasi is already the highest level. Shenemar, and to establish this, Rabbi Avo quotes our pasuk that we started with. V'bitu acharei Moshe ad bo ho'hela. They stood up until the point that Moshe already was back in his ohel, because Moshe, of course, is the Nasi, and we don't sit until the Nasi sits. Before we continue on, I just want to refer back to a Gemara here on the second of the wide lines here on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis that we did yesterday. Boiluhu rochav kimahalch domi olo. I did a drop of research thinking about this again, and the comparison of the Gemara with the Tomei Yosef Tachas Eilon, or the Tomei is Omeid al Tachas Eilon. And finally, the Gemara equates it to the case of Evan Menugas. And I think what the Gemara is asking here and vacillating about is, do we look at the person, or do we look at the object? In this case, the animal that the person is riding on. If you look at the person, then he's stationary. So the halach of Chacham Omid over Lefanav doesn't apply, and there's no Chiv Amida. If, on the other hand, we look at the animal is Mahalach, the man is considered, like, in a sense, part of the animal, connected to the animal, and therefore he's over Lefanav, you have to stand in front of him. And the Gemara wants to equate that by analogy with the case of Evan Menugas. And there, in the case of Evan Menugas, we're going to see that we look at the, not at the Evan, but at the person who's carrying the Evan. Rashi says, Evan Menugas Adam Nosa. If a person is carrying it, Tachasila Vitar Yoshev Tachasilon. Lo Nitma Tome Atche Yeshev Nose Ha Evan. Im Yoshav Nose Ha Evan Nitma Hatome Afiluhu Omed. So there's a man carrying the Evan Minugas. And the question is he standing or is he sitting? If we would say that we go basa the Evan itself, that means that Rachuv Lav Kamahalich Domi, and we look at the Rachuv, the person who's riding the animal, as if he's Yoshev, we look at the person and the person remains in the same position all along, because he's not walking. Is if that be the case, there should be no difference whatsoever whether the man who's carrying the Evan Minugas is standing or sitting. The Evan itself is always in the same place. It's just a question of the man changing positions. But the answer is, we don't look at the Evan, we look at the person who's carrying the Evan. And therefore make a distinction between the man who's standing and the man who's sitting. So if the individual who's carrying the Evan is koveya, you know, he's critical, then so too the animal who's carrying the man is critical, and therefore, rochuv kimahalik tom, you have to stand up in that case. Okay, now Rabosa, we start the new sugya. The Mishnah has already established back on Daf Chav Tes, called Mitzvah Aseishas Man Groma, any mitzvah that has a relationship to time, in terms of its chiyuv, in terms of its kiyum, is noshim pturos. If it's shalaz man groma, then echad anoshim v'echad anoshim chayov. Torah Rabbanan. Ezo hi mitzvah saseh shazman groma. The Braisa is going to list five mitzvos which are categorized as man groma. And the examples are the following. Sukkah, lulav, shofar, that group of three is very clear. Here the zman itself is integral to the mitzvah. The zman engenders the chiyuv. And then we have tzitzis, utfilin, moving on to lamed daled amud aleph. These are cases of mitzvos which are limited to daytime and they don't apply at night. So if they only apply by day and not night, obviously there's a time element here that limits the chiyuv mitzvah, or if you will, that engenders the chiyuv mitzvah, and that classifies it as man groma. Now, with regard to tefillin, there is a machlokes, whether Lila's man tefillin or not, and according to one man diomar in Menachos, there is a mitzvah tefillin even at night. And Rashi is very aware of this. He says, Kasavra Lila Lavzman tefillin. Either we interpret this, according to this categorization of tefillin, as Zman Groma, based on that Man D'Yomar who holds that there's no tefillin at night, which means that both tefillin and tzitzis are the same. Inami, and the Inami of Rashi is to cover the base as far as the other man, the Omer Menachos, who says that Laila's man tefillin who is Shabbos v'yontif lav's man tefillin, but there's no tefillin on Shabbos and yontif. Hilchach says Rashi came and dika shaita de lo machayev be zman gromahu. This is a radical and very fundamental expansion of that definition is Zman Groma. It's not that there's an element of Zman in engendering the Chiyuv. Basically, Tefillin is not dependent upon any Zman, but rather there's a time period where you're potter. And that's what Rashi's saying, Yikashayt lo machayev behu. It's not the positive that, you know, the Zman is engenders the Chiyuv, but the negative that there's a time period in which there is no Chiyuv. The Braisa continues and enumerates those cases Ezi mitzvah saseh shalah azman groma. And here we have four examples. We've got the example of mezuzah. It has no no element of time in it. Makeh, putting a fence on your roof. Ashavas Aveda, I mean, whenever you find the Aveda, you chayev. And Shiluach HaKen, whenever you chance upon a Kan Sipar, you are chayev in this mitzvah. And it has nothing to do with time. Shalech Teshach Sa'em V'Sabonim Tikach Loch. Now, if you look carefully at the language of the Mishnah says, Kol Mitzvah Saseh. And then it says again, Kol Mitzvah Saseh Shaloh Azman. So, we have the word Kol. And we get the impression that every single mitzvah that fits under the first category and has a time element to it is Noshim Pturus. Every single mitzvah that has no time element, women are obligated. So the word kol here seems to make it into a klal without any yotzim in a klal, no exception to the rule. So the Gemara says, uklolu, is that really what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi meant here? Hare matzah, we know that women are obligated in matzah, even though, obviously, matzah no less than sukkah, lulav, and shofar has a time element involved in it. Rashi points out that this is derived in the sugya in Psachim from a hekesh between Baal Tochal Chometz and Kumechol Matzah. Women are included in Baal Tochal Chometz, if so facto, they're included in the mitzvah of Kumechol Matzah. And this indicates that the list of mitzvos here, or shall we say, I should say better than that. I should say the rule that's given by the Mishnah and presented as if it's an absolute rule with no exception has at least one exception. We have now the case of matzah, despite the fact that it's man groma in the classical sense. Nevertheless, women are obligated. So what the Gemara is driving at here is to try to reinterpret the word kol and to show you that this rule is not absolute. There are exceptions. Again, in each exception, you're going to have to find out why. Now, the Gemara gives another two examples of exceptions of time-elemented mitzvahs which women are obligated in. Simcha, it means the mitzvah of Simcha and Shalosh Regalim, and that's obligatory not only on men, but also on women, because the Torah explicitly mentions Bitcha. V'samachta b'chagecha tov bincha u'bitecha. And we see that women, therefore, are obligated in a time-bound mitzvah of simcha. And next hakel, once in 7 years, when we read the Torah after the Shemitah cycle, the Torah there says, hakel asa'am ha'noshim v'ha'noshim v'ataf. So, noshim are mentioned. So, don't tell me klali. Why do you say kol? Any mitzvah that's van gromo is noshim p'turis. It's really not so. And the Gemara attacks even the next case, the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a klal that kol mitzvah say she'ein hazman groma is noshim chayavos. Let me give you three examples of mitzvah say that are not connected to any period of time, and yet women are exempt. And that's Talmud Torah, Piri Verivya, and Pidgin HaBen. So, as a rule, to say that mitzvah seishas man grom enoshim chayavos, that's not exactly so, because we have mitzvah seishas man groma. In these cases of matzah, simcha, and hakeh, which are mitzvah seishas man grom, and yet noshim chayavos, that's a paradox. And v'su, and furthermore, we have these cases of mitzvah seishen hazman groma, rei Talmud Torah, piri v'rivya, pidgin haben, delav mitzvah seishen hazman groma hu, v'noshim p'turos, and yet women are exempt. We know that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, because the Torah says, v'shinantam levanecha, vanecha v'lo brosecha, even though Talmud Torah is certainly a classical, continuous mitzvah, that's not related to time, v'gisav o'yom v'alayla, the Pasuk says in Yoshua. In the case of Piri V'Rivya, Rashi quotes the entire complex of V'Kivshua, that V'Kivshua means that man is Kovesh, he looks for a woman, for a wife, and he's chayav to get married and have children, but women is Ein Darka Shalisha Lichvosh, and therefore she's exempt from the bits of Piri V'Rivya, despite the fact that it's law is man groma. In the case of Pidgin HaBen, which means that if you have a ben bechor, then on the 30th day you have to be poded. Ach podo siftes bechor ha'adam. And the Chazal darshan that women are exempt from this mitzvah because a woman doesn't have to be nifteis and therefore she doesn't have to be poda others. Even though from the 30th day and on, the mitzvah continues and therefore it's not no longer connected with zman, although one could have said that at least in the initial 30-day period there's a zman element. But no, any mitzvah that continues after the 30-day, non-stop, is a mitzvah say she'ena zman grom, and yet, in the case of Pinchin HaBen, women are exempt. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemeidim haklolos, meaning when the Tana of the Mishnah says kol, it's not meant to mean that there are no exceptions to the rule. That it's an ironclad rule without any yotze min haklal. Va'afilu makom shenemar bo chutz, even if the Mishnah went as far as to say chutz, these are the exceptions to the rule and enumerates them, that too is not an exhaustive list. This nan. In the Mishnah, in Erevin, it says, with regard to Eruvei Chatzeros, or Eruvei Tchumin, it says, Bakol Me'arvim, that you can use anything, any foodstuff whatsoever for an Eruv, to set up Eruv Chatzeros, Eruv Tchumin on Erev Shabbos, but yet, it's really not so. Because Umishtatvim, oh, so he says the following. The Mishnah says bakol, which again means any foodstuff can be used for Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tchumin, Umishtatva means Shitufei Mivos. Again, let's just go over this very quickly. Eruvei Chatzeros is to allow you to take from the house into the Chatzer. Eruvei Tchumin allows you to walk more than 2,000 am outside the city. And Shitufei Mivos, also like the case of Eruv Chatzeros, but here it's a case where many different Mivos join together in a common courtyard. And in all these cases, although you would not be allowed to take from the Chatzer into the Mavui, but if you make what's called a Kinyan Shvisa, meaning you put food there, and any food will do, the Mishnah says, because you need something that's mazin, something that adds calories to the body, adds nutrition to the body. That's the food that qualifies. That's the way Chazal organized the laws of Erevin. And the only chutzia mentioned is mayim melach. Vesu leka, the Gemara says, we know there are more exceptions to the rule. There are more foodstuffs that cannot be used for Erevin, Haika Kmeinu Pitrios. These are various types of mushrooms and so forth, which are not considered, according to Chazal, to be a Dovra Mazin. They don't give you calories. They're great for diets. And this is the proof, says Rabbi Yochanan, that even when it says Chutz, it's not an exhaustive list. Ella, therefore, the general rule, says Rabbi Yochanan, bottom line is Ein Lemeidim in a Klolos, Vafilu Mokum Shenebra Bo Chutz. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah establishes that a mitzvah says Shasman Gromenoshim Pituros. Minola, what is the basis for this principle that an element of time exempts women? And the Gemara says, Gomer mitfilin. Soon see that because of a hekesh between tefillin and Talmud Torah, we establish that women are exempt from tefillin. Tefillin. Ma tefillin noshim pturos, af kol mitzvah seishas man grom noshim pturos. Since the Torah exempted women from tefillin, and tefillin is certainly a mitzvah seishas man grom, either because there's no tefillin at night, no tefillin on Shabbos Yontif, is therefore we can equate, by analogy, any single mitzvah that has a time element to it, to the case of tefillin. Tefillin becomes the paradigm for a mitzvah seishas man grom, and we know the noshim pturos. Utfilin, now the Gemara fills in the missing blank. How do we know that an Isha is Pturim Utfilin? Gomar La Mitamin Torah. In Talmud Torah, we know Vishinatu Vanecha And v'lo b'nosecha, and then it says in the pasuk afterwards, u'kshartim li'osal yodecha, ma talmud Torah noshim p'turos, af tefillin noshim p'turos. The Gemara is not happy in assuming that women are necessarily p'turos from tefillin based on the hekesh to Talmud Torah, v'nakesh tefillin the mezuzah. I mean, if you look at the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, you'll see the following sequence. It starts with Vishinanta with Talmud Torah, then it goes over to Ksharitim of Tefillin, and then finally Ksavtim in Mezuzah. So what do? You have Tefillin in the middle, sandwiched between on the upper echelon, you have Talmud Torah, on the lower echelon, you have Mezuzah. Why do you choose to compare Tefillin to Adeliel, to the one that came before, namely Vishinatu Menech Talmud Torah, and say that women are exempt from tefillin? Why not equate tefillin with mezuzah? And to the same extent that women are obligated in mezuzah, they should be obligated in tefillin. So the Gemara answers, tefillin with Talmud Torah is kash, bein b'parasha Rishona, bein b'parasha Shnia, but tefillin mezuzah, b'parasha Shnia lo is kish. In the case of the second parasha of Kriyas from Vayim Shemoa, the Torah wedges between tefillin and mezuzah the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the reason the Torah did this was to separate tefillin from mezuzah. So in the first parasha, we have tefillin and mezuzah contiguous, one pasuk after the other, and that leads the Gemara to that question that we just raised. Perhaps the Torah is equating tefillin and mezuzah to tell you that women are obligated to tefillin, but now it was a toss-up because, again, there was Talmud Torah and then tefillin. When we look at the parsha of Vayim Shmo, the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, what we find is that it says, Ukshartem Osam Liosal Yedchem, and immediately after Lamanatem Osam is Bnechem. There's no way to jump over Talmud Torah in order to link tefillin with mezuzah. And therefore, we link tefillin with Talmud Torah to establish that women are exempt from tefillin. And then we say that tefillin now becomes a binyan av for many, many other mitzvahs. What is it about tefillin that sets it up as a mitzvah which women are exempt from? Again, to derive it, we derive it from the Hekesh to Talmud Torah. But what's the nature of the mitzvah itself of tefillin insofar as women are exempt? And the answer is because it is a mitzvah say shazman groma. The Gemara now asks another question. V'nakish mezuzah l'Talmud Torah. Why not suggest that since we have here in the second parish of Kriyat Shema, Talmud Torah mezuzah contiguous, why don't we assume that the Torah through this Hekesh is teaching us that Talmud Torah, insofar as women are exempt, based on B'neichem v'lo B'noseichem, that should shed a light on mezuzah that came right before it, and the mitzvah of mezuzah should be right, and then the mitzvah of mezuzah comes right after it, that the mitzvah of mezuzah, like the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is beyond the pale of the obligation of women. Lo sal kedai tuk, the Torah went out of its way to teach you that women are obligated in mezuzah. Dechsiv, the Torah says, the Torah reveals the extra reasoning or motivation beyond regarding the mitzvah of mezuzah. L'man yirbu yimeichem. The Gemara asks rhetorically, Gavre boichai, noshi lo boichai, men need life and women don't. I mean, obviously, women need life as much as men do. We're all on the same page here. So, Levan Yirbu Yemechem in Mezuzah is an explicit Yalfusa to teach us that women are obligated in Mezuzah. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. You want to use tefillin as the source for the p'tur of mitzvah asei shazman grom. And we know from the Hekesh between tefillin and Talmud Torah that women are exempt from tefillin. And we analyze tefillin, we investigate it under the microscope, we say, oh, tefillin is a mitzvah asei shazman grom, and now it becomes paradigmic of all mitzvah asei shazman grom. Why do you need the limud from tefillin, the Gemara says? If I show you another example of a mitzvah asei shazman grom, that women, again, it's a little tricky in theory, you know, if not for a special pasuk, women would be exempt. I'm sorry. We thought that women would be chayavos. Sorry, I correct myself. Women would be chayavos. And the pasuk comes to teach you that in this mitzvah, despite the fact that we thought that women would be chayavos, women are pturos. The answer is that we need that pasuk to teach you that women are pturos. And if that mitzvah is hasei, that women, that the Torah went out of its way to exempt women, is a mitzvah hasei shel mangrovah, that mitzvah could serve as the binyan av, as the prototype of the klal from whence we derive the klal of zman groma noshim pturos. In fact, the Gemara Hare Sukkah, the mitzvah say zman groma who dechsiv basukos teishu shivas yomim is time of the kosher rachmanah ezrach. The Brisa says in Masechet Sukkah Chavches that the word ezrach is lahotzias hanoshim. Ah, you see that if not for the Yalfus of Ezrach, the exclusion of Ezrach, we would have said that women are obligated in the midst of Sukkah, despite the fact that there's a time element here. And now the Pasuk is telling you, no, women are exempt from the midst of Sukkah. What is the point of this limud? To tell you that since Sukkah is a Zman Groma mitzvah, therefore women are pturus. That I derive from Ezrach. You see, the derivation of Ezrach really establishes the mitzvah asay Shazman Groma ptur. And why do you insist, therefore, that we're going to derive it from tefillin? Amar Abaye Itzterich. In the case of Sukkah, even though it's a mitzvah asay Shazman Groma, and therefore the general halacha of ptur nashim would apply, And the reason why it would apply is because we derive from tefillin that women are exempt from mitzvah seish hazman groma. And now we have a havamina, says the Gemara, that women would have been chayav, even though, again, based on tefillin, we would apply the principle of zman groma. But we need a Ezrach to knock off a hava mina. Salka daitach amina hoil dichsiv basukas teshu. The pasuk basukas teshu would teach me that women are obligated, because teshu kein taduru. The mitzvah is that we should live in the sukkah, and living in the sukkah means man and woman. I mean, that's ish v'ishto. Ma dira ish v'ishto. Afsuki ish v'ishto. The Torah is telling me that the mitzvah is dira, and the mitzvah of dira includes both the men and the women. Obviously, the Torah is addressing both men and women when it says taduru, you shall live, because it can't be addressing just the men. You know, what's the man going to drag the woman into the sukkah? It's going to have to be ish v'ishto. Ish v'ishto is a dira. Ish v'ishto together makes a dira. So when the Torah imposes this mitzvah, the nature of which is ish v'ishto by its own essence and its own personality, the mitzvah is ish v'ishto, the Torah is obviously obligating both ish v'ishto. That's why I need her Ezra. Again, if not for this havamina, this special limud here, because of teshu kenta duru enochinami, the source for zman groma and the ptur would be derived from tefillin, and we'd apply it to sukkah. I don't need a ezrach to establish that she's ptur. I only need a ezrach in order to counter and undermine this havamina of dira, of teshu came to duru. But enochinami, the reason why Noshim Aptur is from sukkah goes back to the original limud, the original yafus from tefillin, and that is that any mitzvah zman groma, women are pturos. The Gemara now gives another answer for the name of Rava. Rava Omar. And here we're taking a look on Daf Lamedalid Amid Beis. Salka daita chamina, I would have thought. Chamisha sar chamisha. We have a famous gzeirah shava between sukkah or sukkahs and Pesach. In both cases, the Torah commands us in the midst of, whether respectively sukkah and matzah, Chamisha starts the 15th day of the month. So Salkadak Amina Nailiv Chamisha Samichagamatsus Malahal and Noshim Chayovas Afkan Noshim Chayovos Tricha. Says Rava, the reason for this Havamina, that even though under the law of Tefillin, meaning Zman Groma, women should be exempt from Sukkah, I still need the Pasuka Ezra. Why? Because I would have said that Sukkah, insofar as it's equated with Matzah, and Matzah is the exception, so too Sukkah is the exception. Women are obligated. Now the Gemara goes on to Mitzvah say, Shazman Grom, and the Gemara says the following. You're telling me that from Tefillin we're going to derive the principle of Mitzvah say Shazman Grom is why. Why do you need tefillin for that? What about the mitzvah of re'iyah? Right, to come three times a year on the regalim and bring an olas re'iyah. Mitzvah seishes man grama, he certainly it's a time element here in the mitzvah, three times in the v'tayma. And the reason why women are potur, or pturos, from this mitzvah of re'iyah, is the kos of rachmana, the potur went out of its way to say, yeroah, kol zechurcha, lahotzi ad nashim, halav haki, apparently nashim, chayavos. Meaning, once again, if you're telling me that tefillin establishes a binyan av for all mitzvahs, that azman grama, that women are exempt, so then dalmiyachi, the Torah didn't have to go out of its way to say zchurcha in order to exempt women from riya. Riya is a classical zman grama. It's Rif, the Gemara says, I need a pasuk to exempt women by riya. I would have had to have me that despite the fact that riya is man groma, nevertheless, women are obligated. In both parashios, in the parasha of Re'iyah of Shalosh Regalim Yeroah called Zchurcha, the word Re'iyah is mentioned, and in the parasha of Hakel, it says Bevokal Yisrael Leiros, and therefore we have a hekesh between Re'iyah and Re'iyah, between Gimel Regalim, Aliyah LeRegel, and Hakel. And we would therefore say, since women, to the same extent, women are obligated in Hakel, because the Torah went out of its way to say that women are obligated in Hakel. It says, Noshim, Anoshim V'Tav. Noshim is explicit in the Pasuk. I would say now, by virtue of this Gzeirah Shavah, the Re'iyah of Shalosh Pam Yerah is also Noshim Pturo, is also Noshim Chayavos. Again, in the Havamina, this is before the Pasuk Zchurcha, I would have said that in Gimel Regalim, women are obligated by virtue of the equation to the Mitzvah of Hakel, where the Torah went out of its way to say that women are obligated. So the Gemara now asks the question on the Mishnah, is Ad the Alfina mitfilin liptura? I don't understand. The Mishnah wants to say women are exempt from Zman Grom based on tefillin, Nailif mi simcha l'chiyuva. We know of three mitzvahs which are time elemented, and yet women are, despite it all, obligated. And that's the mitzvah of matzah, the mitzvah of hakel, those we've discussed. And now we have the mitzvah of simcha. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of simcha. We said it says bitcha in the pasuk. So now that women are obligated in the mitzvah of simcha, despite the fact that it's man grama, why don't we use that as a counter binyanav, and then we'll be stuck again between two polar extremes, tefillin, where women exempt, simcha, where women are obligated. They're both tefillin and simcha, lowest common denominator, they're both time-elemented mitzvahs. Amar Abaye, Isha, Baila, Misamcha. You're 100% right. We have tefillin, and we only have tefillin. You're telling me, but simcha, women are obligated. That's not so. Women are not really obligated in simcha. Who's obligated in simcha? The husband is obligated vis-a-vis his wife. He has to be misameach his wife. Michael Mishta with Tachshitin, with Begadim Chadashim. And therefore, we cannot derive from this mitzvah that in other cases, the law would be the same and women are obligated. This is not really an obligation at all. The Gavra Bar Chiyuv is the Ish.
he can only fulfill his mitzvah with the help of his isha, but the mitzvah is primarily incumbent upon him to be mesameach his wife. She's totally passive. Ah, the Gemara says he can't say such a thing. Almana, the Torah says in the very same pasuk, v'samach lefnei Hashem elokecha atah bincha bitecha, and then it says v'yisom v'almana asher b'kirbecha. My Yikolim, what are you telling me about almana? She's not. She doesn't have a husband, so it must mean that she independently has a chovas gavra. And even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, so let's derive from here the opposite conclusion against tefillin, that women are obligated in Zman Groma. And the Gemara answers, Bishruya Etzlo. No! The Torah, when it singles out Yosam, Ger, Yosam, Almana, it's not talking about a Chiyuv Simcha that's incumbent upon them. The Chiyuv Simcha, the case of Almana, is incumbent upon the person who, so to speak, adopts this Almana. She's a bas bayis. She comes to eat with him, you know, in his family on a regular basis. She's a guest in his house. Such a person, the Baal Bayis has to realize when it comes Yontif time, he's got to be Mesamecha. He's got to do whatever it is. She doesn't have another Mishpacha. She's a poor woman. She doesn't have money to spend. And you, insofar as you have been the Bimko Mishpacha, you've sort of adopted her. Now you have a Chiyuv and a Mitzvah of Almana, of V'samachta Es Almana. Again, V'samachta V'nei Hashem Elokecha Atah, it's said to be Almana Asher B'Kirbecha. So that's called in the Lashon Hashas Shruya Etzlo. So at this point, we're okay. Meaning, tefillin becomes the paradigm, the binyanav, to teach us Zman Groma. We don't have a counter paradigm going from Simcha, because Simcha is not really the chiyuv on the woman. The chiyuv is on the man. It seems to me that it's logical to add one more sentence, and Bitcha is the chiyuv on the father. You want to tell me that the source for the Ptur Noshim in Zman Groma is Tefillin? Why don't we learn the opposite from Hakel? Hakel, the Torah explicitly says Noshim, and here the Chiyuv is not on someone else to have her participate. It's not to facilitate the Baal. She has an individual Chovas Gavra of Hakel, despite the fact that it's Zman Groma. So again, Hakel should now set itself up as the counter, the contra to Tefillin. And then we have to worry, you know, sort it all out. You know, do we base ourselves on Tefillin and say that women are exempt? Do we base ourselves on Hallel and women are included? So Gemara answers, now keep in mind, we had a third case of Zman Groma that women are obligated, and that was Matzah. And really, we only have two cases, because we knocked out, you know, Simcha from the box, because Simcha is really a chiv on him. But we have two mitzvahs which are incumbent upon her directly, even though there's Zman Groma, and those are Hakel and Matzah. Ah, says the Gemara. You think that you're going to ask this kash from Hakel, and then you're going to ask another kash from Matzah. No, you don't even have to get to the kash from Matzah. Matzah is going to answer your question from Hakel. Sometimes two questions give you an answer. And why is that? Mishum davi matzu v'hakel shnei ksuv mabom keechad. Kol shnei ksuv mabom keechad eim alamdin. We have a rule, one of the midos that Torah addressed then is shnei ksuv mabom keechad eim alamdin. I mean, when you have one pasuk, it teaches a din, that becomes a binyanav. Why did the Torah have to repeat that same halacha in a different case? The answer is the Torah adding the second kasuv is coming to limit and circumscribe the din, that you should not universalize and apply to other mitzvahs. And therefore, if we have matzah and hakel, then logically, we could have derived matzah from hakel, or hakel from matzah, either way, and therefore they're both, you know, either one could have been sufficient to establish that women are obligated in a time-elemented mitzvah. We saw it in matzah, we saw it in hakel. And if we join together these two forces, then maybe we have an answer to that question. You know, our question is, let's derive from either Hakel or Matzah. The Hakel or Matzah that women are obligated in Zman Groma. The answer is, Shnei Ksuv Mabom Keechad Eim Alamdin. The Torah, by spelling out Matzah and spelling out Hakel, is telling you, don't derive any conclusions from these two. Ihachi, the Gemara says, Tfilin or Re'iyah. We have two cases, this man grown where the Torah exempts you, exempts the women. That's Tfilin because of the Hekesh to Torah. And that's Re'iyah, which means Shalosh Pavim B'Shon Yirah Kol Zechurcha, to exclude women. Is Nami, why don't we say also the same logic should apply? Oh, so now the Gemara says that if you can establish that in those Shnei Ksuvim I need both of those Ksuvim, then the principle of Shnei Ksuvim Melamdin falls off. And that's what the Gemara is going to do now, that you need a Ptur of Zman Groma in both Tfilin and Re'iyah, and you couldn't derive one from the Adikos of Rachmana. Had the Torah mentioned Tfilin, and only Tfilin, Velo Kosav, Re'iyah, Havamina, Nalif, Re'iyah, Re'iyah. We have a Gzeres Shavaririyah from Shalosh Pavim Shana Yerah Kol Zechurcha Hakel. It says in the parasha of Shalosh Pavim Vashana, it says Yerah Ucha Kol, Yishah Kol Zechurcha. And in the parasha of Hakel, it says Bevo Kol Yisrael Le'roh. It's the same word, Re'iyah. Is that would be a hekesh between Re'iyah and Hakel, and I would say the same extent that Hakel women are obligated, so too I might have said that by virtue of this hekesh women are obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So Tefillin itself would not be able to convince me that women are exempt from Re'iyah. I have a strong svar to assume that women are chayev in Re'iyah. That's based on the hekesh to Hakel. Ikos of Rachmana, let's go the other way around. Re'iyah, if the Torah would have just said simply that women are exempt from Re'iyah, Velo Kosa Tefillin, didn't have Tefillin, would I have derived the conclusion logically that women are exempt from Tefillin? No. Havamina, Akish, Tefillin, Limezuzah. Right? Keep in mind, we said that in the parashas of Kriyat Shema, you have tefillin and mezuzah, at least in the first parasha. You know, in the second parasha, you have Talmud Torah wedged in between. But if we go back to the first parasha, we have tefillin and mezuzah contiguous, and women are obligated in mezuzah as we derive from Luan Yirbu Yimechem. And therefore, I would have said, by virtue of this Gzeres Shavu, tefillin, women are obligated in tefillin. Tzrichi, so I need not only Re'iyah, I need tefillin as well. So now we're pretty solid here, back to square one, that we have a very strong basis for deriving the conclusion of mitzaseh shazman grobnosh and pturos. We got it tefillin. Now you can add re'iyah. We couldn't learn one for the other, so it's not sheik suva v'am kechrei melamdin, and women are exempt from a time bound mitzvah. Ihachi, the Gemara says, we're still not out in the clear. If you tell me that when there's a justification for the Torah to repeat the same principle twice in two different cases, is then we can derive it as a binyan av, is let's go back to Matzah and Hakel. Right? We had in Matzah and Hakel two cases of a mitzvah seishes man groma in which the Torah says the women are chayavos. Is Nami Tzrichi, if I can prove to you that, because again, we want to derive either from Matzah or from Hakel that women, as a contrary to Tefillin, women should be obligated in Zman Groma. But the answer was, Shneksu Abom Kechre Melamdi. Wait a minute, hold everything. I don't know if you can apply the logic here and the principle of Shneksu Abom Kechre Melamdi. If I have a Tzrichusa that would justify why the Torah would have to teach me that a woman is obligated in both Matzah and Hakil, and neither one could be derived from the other, then that blows underwater. That completely undermines the principle here, the application of the principle here of Shnei Ksuvim Avon Kechad Ein Melamdin. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Lamai Tzrichi? What's the deal over here? Why do I need both? Again, you're operating with the assumption that from one of these two, we're going to derive the chiyuv of women in Zman Groma, and there was no need for the Torah to tell me the other one. Therefore, you apply the principle of Shnei Ksuvim Avon Kechrei Melamdin. No, it's not enough to have one of them and derive. You can't. The Gemara says, well, let's check it out. and we have to go in both directions. In other words, we got to go from matzah to hakel, hakel to matzah, back and forth reciprocally. Bishleim, the Gemara says, ikos rachmona hakel velo kos of matzah. You know, you may be right over here that I would not be able to derive matzah from hakel and establish the chiyuv, because in the middle we have here sukkah playing a role. We know that women are exempt from sukkah. Hava, I mean, I would have said, if we only had hakel, that Nelif, we should derive Chamishasar to teach me that women are exempt from matzah the same way they're exempt from sukkah, because we have this equation 2-2 from sukkah to matzah, matzah to sukkah. And we know that women are exempt from sukkah because of the pasuk of Ezra, so too they should be exempt from matzah. Is therefore the Torah had to tell me and establish through a Hekish to Chometz that women are indeed obligated in matzah. Okay, that's one direction. Ella, but I still have my following question. Nichtov rachmona matzah. And I would need matzah to establish the chiyuv of women in matzah, because otherwise I would derive from 2-2 from sukkah that they're p'turos. But v'lo boy hakel. I would certainly assume that now that the Torah has told me, don't derive from the pasuk va'ezra to exclude women from sukkah and matzah, but women are obligated in matzah. Now I would say that women are obligated in all mitzvah say shazman grum, including hakel. So why did the Torah have to go out of its way to teach me hakel? I know Amina, and not only that, I can have a kalvachomer here. If tefillim, those are the youngsters, are chayovim, you know, these are the babies, are chayovim, have to be brought in hakel, the Torah says, v'taf, v'taf, is noshim lo kolshkein, certainly women are obligated. So I have first of all, matzah to tell me that women are obligated in Zman Gorman. Number two, I have a strong, you know, internal svar to say that women are obligated in Hakel. So I can definitely assume that women are obligated in Hakel. Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me that women are obligated in Hakel? And the answer is to establish that you don't derive from matzah and Hakel for other mitzvahs. Hilkach, shnei ksuv abom keachad v'ein melamdin. The Gemara says, he nicha. This makes absolute sense. Liman di Omar ein melamdin. Now, it's this principle that we've been operating with, that shnei ksuvim abom keachad melamdin is true, and we never doubted it. That's really that's pretty shoddy scholarship, because there is a man di Omar who holds that shnei ksuvim abom keachad melamdin. El a man di Omar melamdin, that if, when you have two psukim teaching you the same thing, they are setting up a paradigm, a binyanav is Michael and Maymar. Again, we'll go back to our scorecard, back to square one. We have matzah and hakel, and in both cases, matzah and hakel, women are obligated. Is that should set it up as the binyanav for kol Torah kula, and therefore we are stuck. You know, we have the tefillin model, and on the one hand it says women are exempt, but now we have another model from Matz and Hakel tell you women are obligated. Vesu, and furthermore, when the Mishnah says mitzvah seisha lo azman gomenoshim chayavos mi nolan, we're going to derive that principle from that a mitzvah seisha lo azman gomenoshim chayavos. The Olif, you're going to tell me Olif mi Mora. It says Ish Imo the Olif Tiro, that a woman is obligated in Mora, and that's going to teach you Ma Mora. It's a mitzvah say Shein Azman Grom and Oshim Chayovos, because it says Tiro in Loshim Rabim is Af Kol Mitzvah Say Shalom Azman Grom and Oshim Chayovos. You want to tell me now that Mora is a mitzvah asay? Again, we would have thought it was a mitzvah losas, or at least an iser asay, and therefore women are included because of lavim. It has nothing to do with essay. Okay, so you decided that mora is an essay. Women are obligated because it's a law's mind grower. That becomes the paradigm. V'nelev mi Talmud Torah. What about Talmud Torah, which is not connected to any particular time? It's not limited in time. And yet women are exempt. So why not derive from Talmud Torah as the paradigm that women are exempt from mitzvah say shel lo azman groma? So we have on the one end Mora saying yay, and we have Talmud Torah saying nay. So which way do we go? So Gemara answers, Mishum da Havile Talmud Torah Upiria Verivya. Again, according to that Mandi Omar, because Piri Virivya is a non-time-bound mitzvah, and yet women are pturos. We said that we derive that from Vikiv Shua. Torah is a non-time mitzvah. So the Torah added these two to tell you, Ein Malamdin. But rather we go back to Mora, and in Mora, since women are explicitly obligated, we say Malamdin. And here we go on to Daf Lamed Hey Yomid Aleph. And the Gemara introduces the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, who holds in Masechti Yevamos that the mitzvah of Piri Verivya is incumbent upon both. Because after all, the Torah does use the plural and says Pru Urevu. And if that be the case, then the only exception to the rule, well, and now it's going to become the rule in the Gemara's Kasha, that mitzvah seishas she'ein hazman grum, and yet women are obligated, mitzvah seishas she'ein hazman grum, and yet women are exempt, is Talmud Torah. So now Talmud Torah should be a binyan av, and that should tell me the opposite of what we wanted to derive from Mora. That's the Gemara's Kasha. So Mirza Shem, believe that, we'll pick this up tomorrow.